like our content? It's funded by viewers like you. Please consider becoming a sustaining supporter of New Church Live today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New Church Live. Today, my name is Curtis Childs. I'm not Chuck. Today, we're going to be talking about jobs and work and how work is a sacred thing. And it's daylight savings today. So it's 10:30, but it's really 9:30. Like your body thinks it's 9:30. So if you are working today, and you're maybe catching this later or watching it at work, and you either show up to work an hour early, biologically, you probably think, this is great. I love this. work. People have challenges with work. It's generally something that we have to, a lot of the time, sort of grit our teeth and get through. And I'm not going to try to say by the end of today's service that it's never going to be like that. But what I hope to do is open you up to the reality that work is the most spiritual thing that you do. You might be thinking, I want to pursue spirituality. I want to grow. I want to find God. I want to be reborn. The most spiritual thing you do is work. Even if it doesn't seem like that. I mean, I set out to do this talk or get it ready, and I thought, I'm going to look at the internet to see what people think of with work. Because I imagine if I just searched for like stuff about work or memes about work, it would be people like, I'm so glad to go to my job. So let's see what they got. The first one, and I'll read this in case anyone's listening along, is... there's a little sad dog, and the caption reads, when you pull up to work and the building is still standing. Okay? All right? That's how some people feel about work, but not everybody feels that way about work. Some people probably love it. Let's see what the next one is. This is a tweet from Robert Schultz. My boss was like, people working from home are just pretending to work. And it's like, dude, what do you think I'm doing in the office? Okay, fine. We're going to do one more. Are we starting to get a general sense of how the human race feels about its employment? Okay. This is Leonardo DiCaprio. For anyone who's not watching, and he's making this like almost a facepalm face. And it says, when you try to leave work a little early, but your boss reminds you that you have 7 hours left. So I get it. Working can be a challenge. And there's a lot, obviously, people wouldn't make these hilarious memes if there weren't a lot of people kind of struggling with the grind of work. So you would think that God, remember God, who is loves everybody all the way, made you, is the source of all the love that could possibly exist for you in the universe, wants you to be happy, wants your life to go well, created the universe so that you could be happy. He's going to do something about this, right? I mean, this whole work thing, he's going to be the one who gets it so we don't have to do that anymore. And actually, you see this in Matthew. It says, come to me, and I love this quote, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, like that's the meme people, and I will give you rest. That's what we're talking about. We don't want to be having to go and do all that hard work. What we want is to rest. And God is saying, I'm going to give you that rest. But then look what he says next. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you guys know what an oxymoron is? It's when something is like, well, not literally, but it's impossible in how it's worded. How are you gonna find rest for your souls if you're taking a yoke on you? Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is a thing, I've never seen one in real life, but I know about it from the Bible, is the thing that you'd put oxen in so that it hooks them. It's like a wooden thing, hooks them up so they can plow a field. And God is saying to us, hey, get in this thing here. This thing that instead of wandering around free, you come here and do work. He's saying there's rest in this. I'm going to give you rest inside of this yoke. Why is he saying that? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's songs made out of this quote. For my yoke is easy and my burden. Do you guys know that? That's always how I hear it. Because I'm just saying, people love this passage. Why are we finding rest in work? I like easy and I like light, but why not just saying, I'm going to give you, you're never going to have to do any work. Why is he saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Why is that where we find rest? And this leads us into, there is something amazingly distinctive about New Church theology. I think in reading Swedenborg and what he says about work, I don't think I've found this anywhere else. I don't think I've found this in any Christian denomination. I could be wrong. Look at me. Do I look like I'm a scholar of religions? Do I look like I have an advanced degree? But I haven't come across it, and I haven't come across it, and I've been around a lot of sort of self-help, new age kind of things, where there's a lot of good stuff and all that. I don't think I've ever come across this, which is that work is where heaven dwells. That are meant to find our happiness in the work that we do. That work itself is sacred. Your job is sacred. It's like a temple. It's the holy of holies is where you sit down and do your work. This is a quote from Heaven and Hell. It says, all the pleasures of heaven. Everybody's interested in pleasure, in happiness, in joy. That's what everybody's looking for. And heaven just means the best. It's the state of happiness for which we were created. All the pleasures of heaven are united to forms of service and dwell within them. So if you're looking for the happiness of heaven, every single bit of the happiness of heaven is connected to, united to, married to some kind of form of service. Some kind of form of service. Those two things, everything about heaven has some connection to service. That's cool. That's not what I would have just thought. I would have just thought it was, I don't know, everything opulent. Is everything in heaven is connected to a form of service. Pardon me. Consequently, the nature of each individual's pleasures, that's you or me, depends on the nature of that individual's service. And its intensity depends on the intensity of the affection for service. So your happiness, you can cleanly substitute heaven for happiness, because happiness is the what you experience when you're in the state of love to God and love to the neighbor that's called heaven. The nature of each of our heavens, each of our happiness is dependent on what kind of service we provide, what kind of work we do. And you want more happiness? That comes with more intensity, the love for the good that we're doing. That's where the happiness, you can look all around in life. Where's the happiness come from? It comes from the intensity of our love for the service we do, for the good things that we do. That's where it is. I'm not saying that you have to have a job where you get a W-2 to be in heaven. Service just means the thing you do regularly that helps. When I was growing up, my mom was a full-time mom, and she was doing service by, making it so I could be alive and well-adjusted, and that was a huge benefit to me. I'm still riding high on that. So whatever you're doing to serve the human race, whatever you do to serve the human race, but not, the distinction I'm trying to make is it's not like, once a month I go and help at a soup kitchen. That's fine, but that's not the main thing you do. When you get up, what do you do every day that's helpful? That's the service. That's the service that heaven dwells in for you, whether or not it's connected to an organization and a paycheck. That's where you find heaven. That's where it dwells in. So then I have this equation. Do I look like I can program code? Actually, when I was little, I did teach myself how to make rudimentary video games. This makes it mathematically impossible for there not to be, for it not to be true that God wants us to be happy through work. The point of having work in life is to make us happy. Because it says, if God created the universe so that usefulness could exist, that's from New Church Theology. Why is any of this here? It's you got to have all these conditions so that there can be an existence in which you need help and I give it to you. That's what usefulness is. You need something and I'm helping you. And I need something and you're helping me. That's what usefulness is. All of this complexity and all the galaxies and all the elements and all of human civilization and psychology, all that is there so that this could exist. That I need something, you give it to me. You need something, I can give it to you. That's the capstone. I don't even know what a capstone is, but it sounds like what I'm talking about. That's the crowning achievement of existence. Is that? That's why it's here. And the Lord's divine providence, which is how God runs the universe, has as its goal a heaven from the human race. So we have two, would seem like they're conflicting definitions of why is everything here. One is God created the universe so that usefulness could exist. The other is the goal of everything is heaven, which is, remember, happiness for us to be in. That would have to mean usefulness equals heaven, which usefulness equals happiness. So that's cool. I think that if that's where happiness is, we should look more at how we get to that happiness. And that's what we're doing here. So we'll take a break for our first song. But just keep in mind, let it swirl around, that the place ultimately where our happiness stems from and centers on is the usefulness that we can do. Okay. And I know it doesn't always feel like that. So this song is an acknowledgement of what it sometimes feels like to go to work.
Out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, yawning, stretching, trying to come alive. I jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the street the traffic starts jumping, and folks like me on the job from 9 to 5, working 9 to 5. Get ahead, but the They let you dream just to watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. You're on the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll you away. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, they just use your mind, and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you live. 9 to 5, they got you where they want you, there's a better life, and you think about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it, and you spend your life putting money in his
One of, you know how I showed those memes at the beginning, or if you just joined, you missed the funniest part at the beginning when I showed a bunch of memes. I think that's what they're called. They're just like little funny pictures of how much people don't like to go to work. One of them that was in the running for, yeah, there was a selection process. One of them that was in the running was, it said on it, there's the two worst feelings in the world. One, not having a job. Two, having a job. So I think there is this sort of dual nature of the experience of work. And I think that song, I don't know if you're listening to the words in it, it was a great rendition of it, but it's talking about how being in a repetitive work environment where you're not valued and you're being exploited, so that you're putting in a lot of work and really a lot of that wealth is going to somebody else. How that's soul crushing. And it is. And I would say this, you know, this talk, we're talking about how your job is sacred. It's sacred for everybody who's going and doing their job. It's sacred for the people in management who are sort of determining how the jobs are for the people in that company. Like, there's as much responsibility for everybody to treat this as a sacred thing. And actually, as the thing that people are meant to be doing. Life is work. I'm talking about that literally. If you look at the cell in the body, which is the fundamental unit of work, and you like zoomed in on it I said fundamental unit of work, that's a Freudian slip, fundamental unit of life, they're interchangeable, because if you can pull that little cell up there, you see all that cool stuff? All of that stuff is doing something. There's nothing in there that is just like, I'm here. Here I am. Actually, we would be quite surprised if we went into a cell and found something that they would say, we haven't found out yet what it does, because we know it does something. Oh man, in there, come on, let's see. Biology class, you got your nucleus, which is, you know, DNA is in there, it's storing that. There's a cell membrane, which its job is to sit there and say, you, chemical, you can come in. You, virus, you cannot come in here. That's its job. You have mitochondria. Their job is to make ATP that powers things. Everything is doing a job. Everything is doing a job. You know your appendix? Your appendix is pretty famous. One of the reasons why it's famous, there's something right next to it called like the cecilium or something. I don't even know, but you never heard of that because the appendix is famous because for a long time people thought it didn't do anything. It was like, whoa, there's something in the body that doesn't do anything. Because everything, life is just a series of tasks being carried out. Work is all throughout life. So much so that when you look at the different kinds of cells, I just, you know, I showed you a round cell there, but cells have these incredibly different shapes and sizes and scales. They're totally defined by what their job is. Cells have jobs and it shapes everything about them. Did you know? You probably didn't. I didn't know this till last night. The difference in mass between a red blood cell, which is a very small cell, and some of your biggest muscle cells is like the difference in mass between a hummingbird and a blue whale. I guess it's like, who cares? But I always thought cells were basically the same. No, what you're doing as a cell really affects what you're like. So everything is defined by the work it does. Work is life, life is work, and the intent of work is to bring happiness and fulfillment to human beings. And I said before that work is the most spiritual thing you can do. So what we can do with this is to go and do our work spiritually. So it doesn't automatically bring you happiness. It doesn't automatically become a sacred thing, but what makes it so is to do it spiritually. So to do your work spiritually, what you have to do is you have to be wearing sandals and like a robe, and you gotta sit like this. No, is that not funny? That's not how you do it. It has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with religious piety or observances. Those things can help, but the core of doing your work spiritually is to do it well. To do it justly, honestly, faithfully, because you believe that's the right thing to do. That's it. That is the pathway to the Lord, is to say, I want to try to do whatever's in front of me well because of the benefit this will bring to the common good. That's all that it is, to do your job spiritually. And that is the main, again, that is the main component of human spirituality. You could say, there is regeneration, there is, which is to shun evils as sins. Like some people watching this right now might be saying, that's the main component of spirituality. But where do you do that? One place you do it is, and as we were just complaining about, we spend a lot of time at work. There's a lot of interactions there. Or whether you're at work or wherever your service is, that's where you do it. That's where you say, well, even though I could try to upsell this person on something they don't need and I would get a commission on that, I'm not going to do that because that's not right. It's not right. It's like, I could cut this corner here, but I'm not going to do that because that's not right. That is incredibly powerful. That is incredibly meaningful. That is us becoming the cell who we're meant to be. And the design for human beings, just like you have a design in the body where it's not just, I showed you a bunch of cells, but there's not really cells in the body that are just, hey, I'm a cell, I'm hanging out by myself, doing myself. Everybody's part of a tissue or an organ. There's a community that is united by the work that they're doing. And that, again, I think this is unique to New Church theology. That's what heaven is like. I'm talking about not just heaven as happiness, but heaven as the place you go after you die, where everything's good. You see it in all these TV shows. That in heaven, there's communities that are based around people having a shared love for doing a certain kind of work, being useful in a certain way. And being in one of those communities helps you have more joy and more ability to do your job. And I think that you see this world sort of trying to be that, kind of trying to be like that. If you think about, does everybody know what that building is? That's Apple headquarters. So Silicon Valley. All of our lives, for better or worse, have been changed by this region of the world, which is kind of united around a sort of work. Because in that one little, the reason why so much has come out of there is in that one little place, you have all these different people who are united by this love of technology and the advancement of it. And you have all these different groups within there, different individual corporations, but also your venture capitalists, and you have your schools that produce people who are good at computery stuff. All that together, when you say, oh, Silicon Valley, you know that's what that region does for the human race. You could look at, I try to think of where does this pop up, in the United States, for example. New York City is known, even though there's all these different things that happen there, but it's known as like a center of finance. There's a lot of financial stuff that's together there, a media center. Everything has its role. The people living there, you go there if you want to do one of those things. Washington, D.C., it's like public service or civil, whatever you want to call it. Everybody loves Washington, D.C. But I'm trying to say that it has its character. If I say, oh yeah, Washington, even when people complain about it, they say, Washington's broken. Don't they say that? What do they mean? They don't mean the subway there is broken. They mean the function it's supposed to perform, which is public service and governance of the United States of America. That's what it does. Even in Philadelphia, you thought I was going to leave out the greatest place in the world? Even in Philadelphia, there's this part of it that's called University City, which is saying, hey, everybody that's in this area, there's a conglomeration of like schools and tech and stuff that's going to do this particular thing. So that is the way it is in heaven, and that is the way that it is striving to be here. We are meant to be, useful and useful with others to do big, great things for the human race. And that's how you always feel, right? All the time. If not, if you're feeling a little adrift and saying, what you're describing sounds like not like how my life is, we're going to address that in the next part. But for now, let's just focus on the vision of this is what it's supposed to be, is that life is work in a good way. Work is happiness, and we're meant to be doing great things of work together.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh. And I think to myself, the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is your friendly reminder to make a donation to New Church Live, and it's super easy, and there's a handful of ways. There's a QR code below, which will take you to the donate page, or you can text the word New Church Live, all one word, all lowercase, to 77977, and you can make a donation that way, or you can visit our website, www.newchurchlive.tv, and there's a donate tab there. Both places, you can set up a reoccurring donation or you can make a one-time donation, and all of your support helps fuel everything that happens here at New Church Live. We're so appreciative. Thank you all so much for making a donation. Thanks.
I'll echo that. Thank you. Thanks for making this possible. I decided I was going to include a picture of all of you that are watching right now. So this is it. This is a picture of you watching the first part of my talk. You guys, I'm here saying, work. Don't you love work? Isn't it like so spiritual and great? And you're happy there. That's not always how it is. So what do you do if right now, work is challenging, or you know, what you do every day is challenging, and it's a grind, and there's parts of it that you feel like, I don't really want to be doing this. I would say the spirit in which we approach that is, lay up your treasures in heaven. There's this quote you've probably heard from Matthew. Jesus Christ, God is saying this to us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Generally, when people are talking about this quote, they're thinking about, you know, like love and good feelings and stuff. I think the same can be said about our approach to work in this life. The thing you can always do consistently, because some people in this world is very inconsistent, and it doesn't always seem fair. Some people in this world have very fun jobs that you get tons of freedom and they pay you really well and you get to do what you love to do. And some people have jobs that are not fun and they don't seem to match who they are and everything in between. I'm not gonna say that the way to happiness is try to get it so you're in a dream job. I mean, I'm not gonna say you can't try to do that, but it just, like, it sometimes doesn't happen. Like, it doesn't always happen. And even when in your dream job that you think, it's not always as dreamy as you think. That's kind of treasures on earth. Like, okay, I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna get this promotion. And things can always happen. You can lose your job. You can get there and turns out you have a coworker you can't get along with, or your company gets sold. Things can always happen. Treasures on earth. And it could just be you just can't find the job that we can't control that. What we can control is the treasures in heaven, which is how we approach whatever providence has in front of us. So even though you can be trying to get somewhere in life, what's there in front of you today, there's a way that you can approach it that will have eternal benefits in it. Heaven is happiness, and heaven is united to work. So the attitude we take toward our work, whatever it is at this point in our lives, that can start to build heaven inside of us. You don't got to worry about the long game. You don't have to worry about. Some people worry, like, do I really have anything that I really have to offer the human race? Some people, am I going to find this right fit? Yes and yes and yes. Heaven, as described in New Church Theology, is the perfect fit in all areas. The afterlife that Swedenborg describes is, you're in a community of people that's just the right people that you'd want to be around, because you're united not just by geography, but your hearts themselves draw toward each other. There's a perfect fit there. Romantically, everybody meets their soulmate and they have this, everything's perfect, including job. Right now, through every little twist and turn of your life, God is preparing you for the perfect job. So that's going to come. You don't have to stress about that. And in the meantime, what we can be doing is understanding that our work is sacred, and that it is a means by which we can be connected to the Lord. So even if your boss is a certain way or the work is a certain way, in that moment, we can be getting something in heaven from it by going to the situation and saying, because I believe this is sacred to the Lord. This is why the universe exists. I'm going to try to just think about what I can do that's good in the customer's life or in the my coworker's life or whatever product we're making to the human race. I can go and take that attitude every day. And that changes my spirit. So whatever then happens physically and whatever, however our work changes, we bring with us. It's like, no, I can be laying up for myself treasures in heaven every day that I'm doing this. Another thing that we don't usually do is you think of when you go in for the day or what we start your morning, be saying, this is part of my spiritual work. Like I'm in church right now. New Church Live has a tagline, a Monday morning church. Because the idea is that you're supposed to hear things here that are going to equip you to go and, you know, what happens Monday morning is work. You're doing work. If you think when you're going into work, this is, hey, I'm in church. That doesn't mean this is everything around me is how it should be, but I'm bringing the church in myself to, I'm going to try to live the life that I think Jesus Christ is asking me to live. Here, think if everybody was doing that. How would life be if everyone was doing that? And just know that whatever, then this is like it is with all of life, whatever winding road the Lord has taken you on to get you to be the kind of person that's going to be ultimately happy where he's got a destiny for you in heaven, there's going to be a job that's just right for you there. Swedenborg talks about it in Heaven and Hell 393. If you're like, I just don't know if there's any occupation that's a fit for who I really am and what I really love to do. He says, further, there are so many offices and departments in heaven. You ever think about, like, heaven is like real. It's real like things here are real. So there's like organizations and things you can do. And so many tasks that there are simply too many to list. There are relatively few in the world. You think about how many different kinds of jobs there are now and how many different uses there are for human beings. It's almost nothing compared to what there is in the spirit. So if you're feeling like, I know I love certain things, but I just don't get how this would ever fit into a career, don't worry. That's going to be taken care of. What I hope you can leave with today is the idea that work is sacred. That the Lord is there with you. There's a reason why work exists in life, and it is not to make you miserable, it is to make you happy. And that through that experience, we can find God. So if we take that in every day to know, hey, the way you do it is, when I'm here, I want to do this in integrity because I'm thinking about the good that it does for people, for the human race, whoever you're doing good for, that's you're connecting with the reason why the universe exists, because the universe exists to do useful things to each other. So you get to do that. You get to do that every day. So thank you for doing that. And I hope that some of these ideas can stay with you and help you when it's a grind and give you a sense of obligation when it's fun, that this is a serious and good thing for us to do. Do what is in front of you honestly, justly, faithfully. So let's take a minute and say the Lord's Prayer. I think this is something you can think about in a work context as well. I'm going to approach whatever it is I should do today with this attitude that changes the way you feel about it, changes the way that you feel about it. All right, so I'm going to say the prayer out loud. If you want to say it with me, you can. If you would like to listen, you want to say a prayer in your hearts, everything goes. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So when I'm today, as I'm facing whatever task it is I need to do, whatever job I need to do, help me forgive other people their debts. Deliver me from evil. Give me my daily bread, because God is there in work as much as he's in anything. All right, guys, go out there and have a great week. Thanks.
That you travel on when there's one day and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today, yeah.
Have a great week.